The following is a description of a conference likely held around 1870 in which Mr. John Darby was in attendance. It is from a typed manuscript by Anna Loiseau.
I remember two conferences at the farm of Father Loiseau at Vinton and three at Plainfield on the large ground and under the beautiful trees at Uncle Paul's. Both here and in the West, it was your Uncle Paul who took charge of the necessary preparations. First, notices were sent out some time in advance in order that those who wished to come might make arrangements to do so, but especially that all who had it on their hearts might pray for God's guidance and blessing. Large tents or wooden barracks were provided, one for the meetings, one for dining, and perhaps one for sleeping. Then there must be a kitchen tent adjoining the dining tent. At Uncle Paul's, the grounds were so spacious that everything was arranged beautifully. The tent for meetings was in a quiet corner near the entrance, removed from the house, where there was frequent coming and going and talking, also away from the unavoidable noise of the kitchen quarters. The house was filled with cots in every possible place for women and children. The meeting room in the town was arranged as a sleeping place for the brethren. Also, some interested Christian families offered their houses for guests. At the farm, they built two wooden barracks, one for the meetings and one for men's dormitory. The house accommodated the women, and all who lived near returned to their homes, some taking guests with them. I believe that the meeting barrack, quite near the house, served as the dining room, and I think all the cooking was done in the large farm kitchen, of which I have told you elsewhere, and under the direction of your capable aunties. The food was simple, but excellent. Breakfast, oatmeal with plenty of milk and cream, butter, rolls, bread, and coffee. Dinner, meat and vegetables, bread and butter, tea and coffee. Supper, cold meat, bread and butter, pickles, and such berries as were in season, tea, milk, and cocoa. Dear Mr. Howard Sanderson so enjoyed the food that he said to his wife, "When we go home, let us live as simply as we do here." At their first dinner after going home, for some reason there was no dessert. Mr. Sanderson did not fold his napkin, but sat waiting. Presently he said, "Where is the dessert, Louise?" "Why, Howard," Louise said, "I thought you wished to live as we did at the conference." "Oh, yes, but I did not think we would begin so soon." The meeting barrack had a long table of boards extending from end to end, with chairs all around. At the sides were board seats, and spaces were filled with chairs as needed. It was good to see the brethren around the table with open Bibles, and the seats around filled with men, women, and children, most of them with Bibles also. These were reading meetings. No one was especially in charge, save the Holy Spirit. All were free to ask questions, and anyone might answer as the Lord led. Such were the morning and afternoon meetings. In the evening, a lecture or gospel address, or an open meeting in which several would take part. Among so many laborers, there was always many whom we felt it a privilege to hear. On the Lord's Day morning was the breaking of bread, a worship meeting. What a foretaste of heaven were these seasons! The coming of brethren from the north, south, east, and west, and sometimes from across the ocean, greatly enhanced the interest. With fellow pilgrims meeting, as through the waste we roam, 'tis sweet to sing together, we are not far from home. The afternoon and evening of the Lord's Day were devoted to the gospel, and many came from the country round about. At the conferences at the farm, dear Mr. Darby was present. Also, Dr. Christopher Woolston, Mr. Ponge, Captain Dunlop, and many names whom I cannot recall. As I am not able to speak worthily of dear J.N.D. as a teacher and servant of God, of his long years of devoted ministry, of his many invaluable writings and translations of Scripture, I must content myself with telling you a little of him as a man, and especially of those things which appeal to the young. Mr. Darby was a grand old man in the vigor of manhood, although his hair was almost white. When, after one of the meetings, the barracks were being taken down, his hammer rang with the rest. When a young brother said to him, "This is too hard work for an old gentleman," Mr. Darby replied with a twinkle in his eye, "Come out on the lawn and I'll show you which is the old man." His features were rugged but noble. He would have made a kingly king, so great was the dignity of his bearing, and yet he was as simple as a child and had a fine sense of humor. Mr. Ponge was a quiet, elderly French gentleman. He was very much attached to Mr. Darby and often went about with him. The brethren, knowing this, always left the chair next to Mr. Darby's for Mr. Ponge. One day the latter was late. Coming in and seeing the chair unoccupied, he felt embarrassed and began to say to Mr. Darby, "Really, I am ashamed to have this seat." "There, there, Ponge, it is too late to be ashamed of me," Mr. Darby replied quickly. The humor of it was only for those, however, who understood the French in which it was said. Your Aunt Anna, Mrs. Fleming, was not 3 years old. She was a little mischief, running all around and quite at home all over the house. Mr. Darby occupied the parlor bedroom. Going there after a meeting, he could not find his keys. At once he thought of Anna. Taking her by the hand, he began to hunt in the grass where he had seen her playing. Soon he found them, and then such a funny scolding he gave her while she stood laughing all the time. I have heard that he was great at playing bear with little folks, running after them on all fours and growling to their delight and terror. All who knew Mr. Darby honored him, yet the lowliest might feel at home in his presence. But woe to anyone who, filled with pride, made a show of learning in opposition to the truth. An Irishman working in the field nearby came to see Mr. Darby, about whom he had heard much in his own country. He was barefoot, but not abashed. "And are you the great John Darby I heard so much about in Ireland?" And continuing, he made quite a little speech, evidently prepared for the occasion. Mr. Darby replied not a word. Looking at him, he said quietly, "Tell me, is Christ in you?" As quickly as possible, the man turned and went away. These conferences lasted a week or 10 days, and always there were some to remain at the farm or in Vinton over the next Lord's Day. The many returned to their homes, taking the precious things they had made their own to share them with those who could not come.